We can search all over and we can't find one that is like the Lord. We can search, but we can't find. Hallelujah. You know, I always like to come up to excitement, and I know sometimes we don't have to have an excitement because sometimes you're going to get a crowd that's not excited about what God is doing in their lives. But God is doing a good thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And if God is doing something good for you, you will understand that song. Amen. You will understand that you can search this whole world over, but you can't find anyone like him. Amen. You may think you got a good thing with your wife. You may think you got a good thing with your husband, but there is nothing like the love of Christ. Amen. Nothing like it. Amen. So I just encourage you this morning, just be excited about what God is doing. You know, this is 23 years of ministering that we're here to celebrate with our pastors. Amen. So could we get a Lord a round of applause for 23 years of ministry? Amen. We're not talking about 1 year. We're not talking about 2 years. We're not talking about five. We're not talking about 10, 15, but we're talking about 23 years of laboring for the Lord. Amen. That's something to give them glory, give God glory for them. Amen. And I don't want to get too far in the message, but, you know, as I was sitting here and I was thinking, most ministries, if it's God-given and God-sent, will survive the test. But something that you just was in your backyard and decided that you wanted to go start at work, I challenge you and I guarantee you it didn't last much longer than what the vision that you got. Amen? Because God is a miracle-working God.
Yeah.
And when he sends his people out, he equips them and he gives them everything they need to accomplish the vision. Amen?
Amen.
Today, I just want to share with you all from my heart. Most of us here are members. I just want to talk about faith today.
Faith, yes.
Amen. And I've seen faith demonstrated in our pastor and our overseer. As a young man, I know now how to stand in faith because I've seen it. 10 years, 20 years down the line, whatever God says, I've seen my pastors demonstrate faith to me. You have seen God demonstrate faith through them. So when we are faced with our challenges in life, just know that if you trust God, God's going to get you to the finish line. Amen. So the message simply today is, I don't know what order it's going to be in, because I lied to you not 2 weeks straight. It seemed like the heavens were shut up. And the only thing that kept coming to me was, my faith is taking me somewhere. My faith is taking me somewhere. You don't understand it. All you know is that God has called you. God has called our pastors. They accepted the call. Just as Abraham took the step and went out into a land unknown, didn't know where he was going, but he just took God at his word and went on about God's business. The same thing I see in our pastors. I've been here 20 years of the 23. And I lie to you not, I've seen their faith challenged, but I've seen them not buckle. I've seen them at times where they can throw in the towel and walk away and say, okay, let somebody else, or let's just give it up. But yet it's something built within them that God has placed within them that is their faith, and that faith is taking them somewhere. That faith is building something here in Sicklerville that's going to affect many lives, amen? So with your Bibles, let's just start off, and whatever way God leads, that's just how I'm going to go. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, this is where I would like to start. Habakkuk chapter 2, we have heard this verse many times, and we have quoted it many times. Habakkuk chapter 2, It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now listen to how it reads in the Message Bible. It says, and then God answered, write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. That it may be can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Amen. It will come right on time. Amen. If you just wait, just tarry just for a little while, it's going to come. Amen. The vision will speak one day. Amen. The vision will not lie. Amen. As I stood on this property yesterday and I just looked on the, out on the field, that's what I kept getting in my spirit, the vision. If we just tarry, if we just wait, it's going to speak one day. It's going to come up out of the ground, and one day you're going to see what's over there, amen? In 1998, God blessed us with this property, and we was able to move, not the property, but we were able to move into this church in 1998. But as I was sharing with another brother in the Lord, I remember when we sent out letters asking people, asking members for money, because we didn't know that God had this land. Yeah. We didn't know that God was going to orchestrate this land. I remember we were going all over trying to find a building. We went to a school in Glassboro. We were all over the place trying to find somewhere to go. Each time it was shot down. It was shot down. But God orchestrated in our pastors, let's send out letters. These letters went out. And over $34,000 came into the house. Every day, overseer would ride by this property, not thinking that he can afford it, or not even thinking that we could have it. But God says, that's restoration's property. Because I've given you a vision, and the vision will speak. The vision will not lie. If you just tarry a little while, the vision will speak one day. So one day, he gets a phone call and they offered the property to restoration. With a handful of people, you get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of land for just the back taxes. Just the back taxes. Not the full price, not some estimated price, not some reduced price, but the back taxes. Their faith is taking them somewhere. 1998, we moved into this beautiful building. People said that it wouldn't last, it would, the wind would knock it down, and it was built too fast. All these different things they said. But yet, in 2009, this building is still here. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Amen. Many have come and gone through this building. And when I think back, the name of our church is called Restoration. Many people have been restored, brought back to life, brought back from the gates of hell. So this place that we worship in, this Bethel, because I call it a Bethel because there is bread in this house. There is the word of God. There is healing in this house. Have stood the test of time. And we're not done. I was sitting there thinking this morning, I said, our pastors are getting up in age. But even if we got to wheelchair them into the vision, into that house, one day they're going to see that vision. Because if you look out on that property, the reason why many have left is because they was not locked into the vision. And I'm just going to say it just as plain. Many have left because they were not locked into the vision. It was about me, myself, and I. All they could see was the present. They couldn't see the past. They couldn't see the present. But they couldn't see the future. And they couldn't tarry. You may be seated. As I was thinking of this message, I saw a table in the spirit. And I saw our overseer and our pastor holding one end of the table. But the table was lopsided. It was not upright. It was like on a slant. And then I began to see different men and different women come and be part of the vision. And each time a different member would come that raised up this table. And before you knew it, it was four people. It was four pillars to that table. And it was holding up the table. And then over the years, different pillars were added. And over time, it was no room for that table or inside that table or pillars to be under that table. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And the Lord simply said that these people are upholding the vision. These people are lifting up the vision. On top of the table was all the plans for the future of restoration. These men and women were called to come in to support our pastors. Our pastors not only were at the front of the table, but eventually they were on top of the table praying over the vision. And those people that came in and was over the years were there supporting the vision. So I encourage all of us today that if you're here at Restoration, because as I look out, you're members. You're people that have locked their arms into Restoration. When we hold up our pastor's arms, we're holding up the vision that God has given them. When I think about the property, when just think in 5 years, 10 years, if the Family Life Center comes to play in this community, what a blessing that will be. How many lives will be affected and changed because of that Family Life Center? How many lives will be changed with the school, K through 12th grade? These are things still to come. Still to come here at Restoration. See, in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, the enemy is trying to steal the vision. See, the enemy is coming in shrewd. He's coming in deceitful. He's coming in like he got it all going on, but yet under the disguise of, I want to zap the vision. Because he knows if he can take away the vision, he will discourage our pastors and he will discourage each and every one of us that have bought in to the vision. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to steal the future of Restoration. But how many know the devil is a liar? Yeah. Amen. How many know that the devil is a liar? Amen. See, our pastors have the faith that conquers. Amen. I've seen this faith. Once again, I've seen our pastor, when it was nothing on his property, stand right where this pulpit is and preach like he was preaching to a whole church full of people when nothing was here. I remember at the old church when it was a split and people left. I never forget, he said, put chairs out in the middle aisle. And me and Elder Sid looked at each other like, man, we ain't filling up these chairs. But his faith was taking him somewhere. And before you knew it, we didn't have enough room. Before you knew it, we had to start using the other room for the young people because the church had filled up. Why? Because their faith is taking them somewhere. Now, as I stated, we had the property. We got the church. It was completed in 1998. Little Restores Learning Center opened in 2005. That's part of the vision. Each one of those kids, as I sat over here Friday, because I opened for the overseer, and all those little kids were coming in. All I could see was the future. All I could see is one day these kids will have somewhere to go off the street. Off the streets. They will have somewhere to go where they can get an education. They will have somewhere where they can go and learn computers, how to use a computer, because they might not have a computer in their home. But if we had a computer lab here at Restoration, they can come and learn. So I started thinking about the future. And when you start thinking about the future, the enemy wants to take it. Because that's why out of nowhere, the school district, oh, we're going to take care of the kids now. Because he wants to challenge what God is saying to you. See, their faith is taking them somewhere. So now, as Pastor told me the other day, now that they done took out the before and after school care, now she just got to get creative. Now she just got to pull out of her what God has placed within her to go to the next level. Amen. So the enemy ain't winning. The enemy thinks that he's winning, but yet he's not. The administrative offices on this side of the building is coming. We need a place where we can meet and have conferences. The place where the pastor and overseer can go and not worry about walking back through the crowd just to get to an office, but they can just walk out the back and go into their office, go to the restroom. The finance committee don't have to walk through the halls with the money. They can just go to the finance room. So the administrative offices are coming. Family Life Center, coming. We tried to get talked out of the Christian school. I was here at that meeting, and the lady said all these different things just to put fear, just to strike fear. But God says the Christian school, grades K through 12, have to come. Because that was their vision. It wasn't her vision. It's their vision. And if it's their vision, you can't tell our pastor that you shouldn't do that. I said at that meeting, and I'm saying to myself, how is she going to? That was straight up discouragement. The devil was a liar. So what we are doing is we still going to believe for the grades K through 12. Amen. It can come. And lastly, a home for unwed mothers. This is all part of their vision of restoring lives, of restoring the community to where God wants it to be. Amen? And if you are full of vision, and if you can see in the spirit what God is trying to do here in Sicklerville, I often think about when I ride by this property, you could have got any piece of property in this neighborhood, but God gave you the corner lot. Why would you need the corner lot? Because he wants to make a spectacle of the enemy. He wants the enemy to know that I can take a group of people that they say are unlearned, untrained, not capable of bringing a miracle to this community. He wants to make a spectacle of the enemy. So when that Family Life Center go up, when the administrative offices go up, all of a sudden, you can't miss it now when you ride by, because you're going to be like, oh, man, they building again. Oh, they building again. Oh, they building again. Because the vision will speak. Amen. It's not the pastor and overseer that is speaking. It's the vision that God has placed within them that's going to speak. And it will not lie. Amen. So these three nights, I call it a mini revival that we've been in. I don't know about any of you all. My spirit has been lifted. And if your spirit has been lifted, it's been a good three nights. The first night, Pastor Nelson brought the word from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. His two main points was, don't die, but live. Out of nowhere, Pastor shared that with us. She mentioned it. And here the pastor come that same, not the same night, but a few nights later, and brings this same word. You should live and not die. Don't die, but live. But then he says something that I think many of us need to do. And that is, we need to position ourselves for the anointing of God. See, Elisha positioned himself to receive a double portion of the anointing. If you, truth be told, many of you all probably even saying within yourself, I don't want that anointing. And I'm going to tell you how you can tell by the way we treat our leadership. You don't respect the anointing that is in them. Because if you respected the anointing that is in them, It will be a whole different level of respect, a whole new different level of attitude, a whole different level of where God is trying to take not only them, but you. Because you will recognize your future is tied to them. See, Elijah recognized that. And I'm not just saying that because on paper, if something ever was to happen to them, I'm next in line. That has nothing to do with it, because the truth be told, I'm praying for long, long, longevity. Amen. So I can wait. Because you know why I can wait? Because I understand that my gift, the anointing that God has blessed me with, is tied directly to them. So I'm not walking in some crazy anointing, some selfish anointing. I'm walking in an anointing that is on this house. And when you walk in that anointing, see, when you walk in that anointing, God will make room for you. I hear different people say, I want to preach, I want to teach. If you get in position, you'll get your opportunity. If you just line up with the word of God and position yourself, you'll preach, you'll teach. You'll preach so much that you want to say, look, take this one. Because somebody else get it. Why? Because you are in position. And you're going to live and not die. Then the second night, Pastor Rivers come and he brought it from Romans chapter 8. And what I got out of it was, once again, the pastors are on a mission and they need our support. And also he made a comment too, once again, is that from the scripture, that we can't let flesh get in the way. Because when we get flesh is in the way, we can't operate the way God wants us to operate, because we're operating in the flesh. So the flesh has to die, and we got to walk by the Spirit. Yeah. So if we walk by the Spirit, we're able to love each other. If we walk by the Spirit, we're able to encourage each other. If we walk by the Spirit, we're able to forgive each other. If we walk by the Spirit, we can do great things for the Lord. Amen? But we got to walk by the Spirit and not by flesh. Friday night, Pastor Beatty, she was quite a bit of places. Yeah. But she brought it from Isaiah chapter 43. Verses 1 through 2, and her message was going through, but I'm not going under. Amen. I'm going through, but I'm not going under. My spirit was lifted because I'm going through, but I'm not going under. I challenge you today to receive that word. You're going to go through, but you're not going under. Even though the enemy might get some good blows, he may get a couple of shots on you. But you're not going under. Because the Holy Spirit is a resurrecting spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, when you get that shot that may be going to knock you out of the race, all of a sudden God comes in and he raises the standard. All of a sudden the Spirit lifts you up that you can go a little further. The enemy wants to stop you. But God is saying, no, I place something within you. My faith is taking me somewhere. So I can't die. Pastors can't die. You can't die. Because we still got vision. We still got stuff that got to go over there. It's stuff that's needed over there. So we can't die. We can't be wishy-washy. We got to be sincere and serious about this work. Amen? The enemy wants to discourage. The enemy would love for us to abandon the mission. He would love for the pastors to throw in the towel and call it quits. But knowing our pastors, that is not in the cards. See, their faith is taking them somewhere. Their assignment is massive. And it is supernatural. Amen? Amen. We ain't talking about some little vision. We're talking about a massive vision. And when you think about the massive assignment, when you look out on the property, no longer do you see weeds and trees, but now you see a community. You see a whole block of places that are building up and strengthening people. That's what I see when I drive over. I don't know what you see, but when I come over, I see the completed work. I see the building. I see kids going there after school, the midnight basketball, and keeping kids off the streets with the computers, the game room, all these different things. I see it in the spirit. I don't know what you see, But I see it in the spirit. Walt Disney, in 1912, they opened Disneyland in Florida. Walt Disney wasn't there. When they had their grand opening, Miss Disney was asked, "What would your husband think about this beautiful land that he has turned into an awesome park?" And Miss Disney said, "He already seen it. He's seen it before it was built. So he not missing nothing because he already seen it. So all we're doing is accomplishing what he already has seen." The vision can't die. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 66. See, many of us are catching up. The pastors have already seen the vision. They already know what's to come. And that's why they encourage us all the time that we need laborers, because the harvest is now. It's ripe for the plucking. Now, when I read this, it says the writer of this psalm is unknown. It's a song of praise and worship. I want to just start reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 12. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible are you and your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves unto you. All the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There they did rejoice in him. He rules with his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us into our wealthy place." Amen. So when I go into the house of God, I will come with an offering. I will come with a praise, because God has taken us through the fire. He has taken us as a church through the floods. He has caused the enemy to ride over us. But yet at the end, God says that I have brought all this unto you to get you into your wealthy place. See, their faith was challenged. Our faith is being challenged right now. See, when your faith is being challenged, you're being tried. You're being like that, like a gold ring or a gold bracelet or whatever it may be in the fire. It's being made. And just to throw something at olive isn't olive oil until it's been through the process. And how many know what the process is? Olive oil is picked, is washed, then it's pressed, it's crushed. And then it's crushed again, which I read last night. It's crushed. It's like a 7-step crushing process just to get a drop of oil out. So what I'm saying today is that our faith is being tried, because God has placed something within us that got to come out. Because if when the Spirit of God comes out, it's going to be a blessing. It's going to bless some people. We know that olive oil is a good oil. It's something to have. And my kids know I love olive oil. I put it on anything. I fry up some chicken, whatever, and olive oil. Keith not in here. Good. Because I said I was going to mention chicken. But I fry it up. But see, something is placed within us. And God wants to try it. God wants to see if you can withstand the pressures of life. Because, see, if we got the million, $10 million building or $20 million building, will we be able to stand under pressure? Because what happens is now that you have this beautiful building over there, do you think the enemy is just going to leave? The enemy now is going to intensify his forces. So if the foundation is cracked, as Overseer has been stating, if the foundation is messed up, what good is putting a building over there if it won't last? So our faith has to be challenged so that when that building goes up, we'll have the tenacity, we will have the power to withstand the darts of the enemy. And we know it's not us withstanding them anyway. We're going to put on the whole armor of God. So when the enemy fires those darts, they're going to be thwarted. But at some point, our faith is going to be challenged. So you're going to have to know what you believe in. If you believe in for a husband to come home or whatever it may be, you're going to have to hold on to that faith because your faith is being challenged. Our faith as a church is being challenged with the finances, with different things, with people leaving and coming. That's just the enemy. That's just God. Actually, it's God working as it's twofold, yes. The enemy is working because he wants to steal the vision, but God is saying, look, I done put you on display. That's what he did with Job. He put him on display. Restoration is on display. That's all it is. The different ones that have come and gone, we just on display. Eventually, the vision is going to speak, and those people that have been just watching and talking about criticizing are going to be dumbfounded one day. And that's why I said one day they continue to think that this church is what is called self-check. Let them keep thinking that and watch what happens. Amen? Watch what happens. Because eventually a self-check person makes a shot. Because they're doing what they are taught to do. Amen? All right, let's go a little further. So our faith is tested according to Psalm 66. Now, I want to finish this off by asking our pastors and encouraging them. It seemed like last year I did the same thing. I told them to finish strong the year. It was the year. It was like, let's finish strong as a church. And we had the ropes. We had all these different things. And in that rope, we talked about how we are our brother's keepers. We talked about how if we are in unity, we can get a vision accomplished. We talked about all these different things last year. In the spirit, I didn't understand it, but God revealed it to me. Some people didn't grab hold of the string. And what that string represented, that rope represented it, was it was wrapped three times. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we by ourselves, we can easily be defeated. When we are at least two of us, it's going to be a little struggle to get through that rope. But when you put that third strand around there, that's not easily broken. That's what that scripture was telling us last year. So the Lord let me see that some people wasn't wrapped around that cord. Some people didn't thought it was just a joke. Some people just thought that here we go again. It's just another word. But those who have latched onto the vision, God is blessing, and God will continue to bless because you have supported the vision. Even though you're going through your worst time, could be in your life, it's because you're connected to something greater than you. I finally realized that my attack is not because of who I am. But it's because of the vision, and it's because of what I'm attached to. That's the attack. The enemy doesn't want me to be happy. The enemy doesn't want you to be happy in this vision. The enemy wants you to come through that door every day, mad. Every Wednesday night, mad. Sunday morning, mad. Because if he knows that if he can cloud the praise, if he can cloud the worship, if he can cloud the way we love each other, he's going to win the battle. But if we put him under our feet where he belongs, and started to dance on his head like our Deacon Kevin was doing the other night, which blessed me so. He was going. I was like, go ahead. And if we were at a club, now think about this. If we were at a club somewhere, all of us would have been like, go, Kevin, go. You got it. But when you looked out in the crowd, some was like looking around. Like, what's going on? What happened with him? But we're supposed to rejoice. Now, we were at, like I said, we were at the club. We would have been like, get it, Kevin, get it going on, you know. Back that thing up or whatever it may be, whatever. So now that we're in the house of God, we're supposed to support those who rejoice. Shout with those who have a problem. We're not supposed to come in here all tripping. Amen. We got to squash it at the door. So this leads me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is our pastor's anniversary, 23 years, and I want to encourage them. This was Paul's last charge to Timothy. And I guess I studied a lot of things about when you pass something on to someone. You know, our overseer and our pastor are passing on a legacy. And we're a part of that legacy. And I thought about that even more. And, you know, I'm not ashamed. I wish it was another way, but my oldest daughter is pregnant. And we found out Friday that she is having a young boy, a little boy. And at first, I struggled with it. But God says that I have no control over that. Her testimony is her testimony. She has to go through what she has to go through. But I have a picture on my little mantle at home. It's a picture of my grandfather, and it's a picture of me. In this picture, we were coming from church. And he was all decked out as he always was. My grandfather was sharp, I had to honestly say. But yet, he came into my life. And everywhere he went, I went. How he dressed, I dressed. So in this picture, I have this trench coat on. And I have a hat. And I was in a suit. And the Lord just plainly said, it's the next generation. You got to pass it on. You pass it on to your one son. But now it's not time for you to say it's all over, because it's not your physical child, but it is part of me. That's my grandson. So now I got to impart in him what was imparted to me so he can make it. Amen. So now, God has blessed me with two road dogs. Wow. As I was riding with my son, taking him to work this morning, I got filled up. Because we're passing a legacy down. It's not a game. What we're involved with here at Restoration is something bigger than us. And we have to understand that we have to get ourselves in position to support the vision, support our pastors, and support each other. As I looked at my son, I said, wow. He thinks he wants to play football. Yeah. He thinks he wants to be in business. And it's a calling on his life. And he wants to play football. I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to support my son. But as I told him, I said, football one day is going to be over. And if you don't make it to the NFL, you better have an education to be able to get a job. Because everybody's not going to make it to the NFL. And as I looked at my son, I thought about my granddad. And then I thought about Overseer, who's been a spiritual father and a father to me. See, many of you all probably had your father to encourage you, had your father to acclaim you, to tell you that you are somebody. I didn't have that. So 20 years ago, when I got saved, a father came into my life. See, it's up to you to receive him as a father. It's up to you to receive our pastor as a mother. If you choose them as who they are and what they are to you, you're going to be a blessed person. But if you criticize, put down, tear down, you can't be blessed. The Bible tells us blessings and curses can't come out of the same mouth. So either you're going to bless our pastors, or I suggest you leave. The reason why you need to leave is because people are coming to this ministry, and we don't need any infected people. We don't have time for infected people. Because you couldn't get over your hurt. Because you couldn't get over what was going on with you or whatever it may be. But if you just took the time to receive them as a father, receive them as a mother. And I said all that to say, this is Apostle Paul's last charge to Timothy. He was about to go off the earth. He was going off the scene. But yet he still had the tenacity to write to his son Timothy. He could have asked Timothy for many different things, but yet he took time to encourage. Yeah. He took the time to let Timothy know that the road ahead, you're going to have some trouble. The road ahead, you're going to have some trials. Yeah. But if you keep the faith, if you just hold on, at the end of it, your reward shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And when I saw that, having teachers, sometimes we don't want to hear what's being brought over the pulpit. So we go out and we gather a group of people. And we gather a group of people that we teach, or we want what we want or what we think should be said. We go out and we get that from somebody or someone. People with itching ears. Ask God to help all of us with our itching ears. It says, and then shall turn away the ears from the truth. See, this is what these people do. They gather a group of people and they turn them away from the truth. And Paul is saying, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. So my thought today is to my pastor, to my mom and my dad, finish strong. Finish the race, because your faith is taking you somewhere. Your faith. Yeah, finish strong. Finish the race. And I got to leave you with this. In 1968, a Tanzanian church chose Tanzania, the nation chose John Stephen Okwiri. I don't know if any of you guys ran track, but you will know where I'm going. To represent them in the Mexico City Olympics. Along the way, as he ran, he stumbled and fell, severely injuring both knees and ankle. It was 7 p.m., and a runner from Ethiopia had won the race. Everyone else had finished, and there were only a few thousand spectators left in the huge arena. All of a sudden, a police siren caught everyone's attention. Limping through the gate, 36-year-old Okwiri, with his leg wrapped in a bloody bandage, the people cheered. A reporter at the gate asked him the question that was on everyone's mind. Why continue the race after being so badly injured? He replied, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to begin a race. They sent me to finish the race." Amen. Amen. So, I'm challenging you. Let's be that crowd to support our pastors as they finish the race that was given to them. We don't know if it's the middle stretch, the first stretch, or that last stretch. All we know is that they're in the race. And if they got across that finish line limping, bruised, beat up, I believe their faith is going to get them to that finish line. But in closing, I challenge every one of us that is in this room and those in the back that as they run their race, let's be like those people that are in the hall of faith. Yeah. Let's encourage them. Let's cheer them on. Let's let them know that they can finish this race, because many of us right now have had some faith challenges. So we can tell you a story of how God did this for us and how God did that. Yeah. We probably won't be in the hall of faith, but within this church, if you talk about your faith, what God has done for you, you're encouraging somebody else. So in my book, you're in the hall of faith. Amen. So as our pastors finish this race, how many of us are going to support them? Not 80%, not 90%, but 100%. Amen. I recall one of the pastors said that one of the nights, I don't remember who, but it said that we have to support our leadership because they have to get to a destination. And God, as I sat back there, God says, as quickly as they get to their destination, the quicker we're going to get to ours. So if we continue to hinder them getting to their destination, watch out, because your destination is being hindered. Amen. And I submit this to you. I want my destiny. I don't care about you and you not wanting your destiny. I want my destiny. Because you know why? Because we're called to affect change in the earth. Our pastors have passed something down to me that it'll never leave me. And that's faith. I was challenged years ago. Did I know Christ by pastor? And as you all know, I had no idea that from that day on, the fight was on. And I thought it was just another thing. Another thing. I accept Jesus Christ. And in closing, I said that two times, but I'm going to say this in the last time. I never forget this. Overseer and pastor were on their way to a reunion in Richmond. And I was living with my aunt. An overseer called and said, "Could I just stop by?" And this is when me and Dee Dee, we were not on good terms at that particular time. And he said, "Could I just stop by?" And my aunt and uncle was like, "What are you going to do, come beat you up, you know, since the situation and all this?" So I had my aunts and my cousins and all of them, making fun of me. He came by and brought this Bible that I still have right to this day, all marked up from where he had read it, where he had wrote these different notes down. I refer to that Bible all the time because he could have came down and read me the riot act. But he said one thing that stood with me and it stands with me today. He says, I don't care about you and Dee Dee. If Dee Dee and you are meant to be together, God will work that out. But I'm concerned about your soul and about you going further in God. Take this Bible. And from that point on, I read and I studied. And I haven't been the same. So my destiny is tied to them. Your destiny is tied to them. How well you treat your man and woman of God is how well God is going to return it back to you. Amen?
Amen.
I pray that you got something out of that message, and I pray that I pray that we all will finish strong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.